You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the views of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today is going to be a mini pop show, and what I mean by that, I had a meeting today that also ran a little bit long. I also had an article for the paper that I absolutely had to finish before the show, which took a little time. So today's show will be probably one of my shortest, probably about 15 minutes tops. And what I'm going to hit is Obamacare. I've really talked on past shows with the details. What's new today is the announcement yesterday that they're going to extend the enrollment period, the open enrollment period for Obama until April 15th, which also happens to be the deadline for filing your taxes. So we have some good news for those people that have not finished their enrollment. The way it was originally set up, you had until the end of March, which is close, 5 days from today, to enroll in the program by March 31st. And what was interesting, Senator Reid, who's the majority leader for the Democratic Party, said the problem was not the website. It was people didn't really know how to use the internet. Excuse me? Most people of all ages that do have a web connection know how to use the internet. The problem was that the site wasn't working. It wasn't secure. I still maintain there's a security issue with that site, and you're very foolish to enroll through that site, because it's only a matter of time before we find out that people's information and identities have been compromised. And that will happen, because this was sloppily done. Really, Obamacare, and on the Obamacare website, healthcare.com, it's turning out to be an April Fool's Day joke. Unfortunately, the joke is on the American people. Because if people's identity are stolen, or information is stolen as a result of hackers worldwide trying to get to the information that's exposed there, I think this is a ticking time bomb. And what I need to relate it to is the fact that what's not in the news that should be in the news today is we learned during the disastrous rollout of the healthcare.gov website that's the place you go to enroll in Obamacare, that the back end of this website simply was not completed, was way behind schedule. Now, why is that important? When you put in your information into the website, that information, together with information from a number of other sites, government databases, it's a portal, has to be combined so a determination can be made, for example, are you eligible for subsidies? Now, why that's important is the insurance companies need to be paid. You need to, and this involves, it's a fairly sophisticated, but any website that sells goods or services, the important part of it is the back end, where you not only set up the databases that will actually capture that information, where it will be stored, but you also have to secure it, make sure that important information is encrypted. And in this case, what needs to be done is information needs to be taken from a number of websites to determine, for example, the eligibility of people for subsidies. Many people are eligible for subsidies. So you need communication with multiple websites from different agencies, including the IRS, as well as the insurance company, to make this work. And that had not been completed. Most of this came out in the January time frame, and we've heard precious little as to what is the status. And that should concern anybody that's relying on Obamacare. You see, the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, they don't know how many people have actually paid their premiums. And that's important, because whenever you buy insurance, whether it's car insurance, life insurance, or even health insurance before Obamacare, that insurance does not go in effect. In other words, it's a contingent on you paying your premium and continuing paying your premium, assuming you're paying monthly. So it's rather critical for the insurance companies to know whether somebody, first of all, is just enrolled in the plan, but second of all, has paid for it. And all this has to play well together. And if it doesn't, a number of people get hurt, because what you've already had is people going to their doctor or going to the hospital and finding out that the plan that they were thought they were enrolled in, they're not enrolled in, because the information never got to the insurance company. So you have people out there that really think that, one, they're enrolled in a plan with a provider, with an insurance company, and two, have paid for it. But the question is, did the information on that website get to the insurance company? And did the money get to the insurance company? See, the fear is that over the next 6 months, the insurance companies are simply not going to be paid. And that's critical, because if the insurance companies are continually losing money, at some point they're going to say enough is enough. This is a critical piece of the entire website failure, and it needs to be straightened out. The original contractor was fired from the job and another one brought in. But the problem there is he has a short period of time to get this ready. Really, the deadline was the middle of March. And we need to hear from the powers that be that are contracting out what exactly is the status, as well as from the contractors. So the oversight committees in Congress need to definitely find out, because this is a disaster. It is turning into more than an April Fool's Day joke. You know, April Fool's is just one day. But when you're talking about people's health care insurance, where millions of people think they're enrolled, and I think many of them are, but you're going to have mistakes. Even if it were running perfectly, you're going to have some mistakes. But if it's a massive situation, that's a problem. It's more than a problem. It's a disaster. So that needs more investigation, and I'm somewhat warning you, if you have gotten enrolled, you need to verify from the insurance company that you are enrolled and that they've gotten your payments. I fortunately don't have to enroll. I don't want to get into the why, but most people, the reason why they're not concerned, you see, the people that first encountered this either had no insurance or had their own plan. They bought individual coverage. But the majority of those that were in that situation had serious medical problems, so-called pre-existing conditions. So what you first had was adverse selection, where the people that were more likely to first enroll early are the people that already have a pre-existing condition. In other words, they already have a health problem. It could be heart problems. It could be a previous history of strokes, cancer, serious diabetes, high blood pressure. They have serious medical conditions, usually more than one, that either makes them totally uninsurable, or to the extent that they can find insurance, it's prohibitively expensive. So those people are going to be the ones that enroll first. And that's what insurers call adverse selection, because unlike group insurance, individual insurance was medically underwritten, which means you had to answer a series of questions to determine your medical history and what conditions you had, because insurers are not in the business to insure people that they, once they get in the insurance, they automatically have a claim. In other words, the premiums that the insurance company collects is only a fraction of the benefits that they paid out. It's like if I waited till my house is on fire to call an insurance agency and say, I need homeowner's insurance right now. I need it right this minute. Can you do it? Not really, because if your house is on fire, you're uninsurable. No one's going to do that. The same with auto insurance. But that's what's happening. When you waiver the make this guaranteed issue, which it is, and means anyone that applies has to be accepted, what you're going to get is a significant proportion of those people that enroll in the program will already have a pre-existing condition, many of these serious, and they already know no matter what they pay, and I'll get into that in a minute, they're going to get many, many, many times back in benefits paid to the doctors and hospitals. Think about it. If you already had several heart attacks or several strokes, or you've had cancer or still have cancer, the insurance company knows, you know, and your doctor and hospital know, you're going to be back, and you're going to have a lot of claims. But under this Obamacare, and this has been touted by the White House, this is why I'm getting into it, all those people have to be accepted and with no medical questions. As a result, the early enrollees, as well as some of the late enrollees, are going to have that. Now, who's not enrolling? It's the young people. This Obamacare only works. Well, let me back up 1 second. Obamacare was aimed at young people. By young, I mean 18 to 34. And that's the group that typically does not enroll, does not buy individual coverage. Why? They're young, and they have a history of very little need for a doctor. And that's their perception, which is right. Actuarially, if you're young, you probably won't need any major medical procedures that, for example, would require a stay in the doctor. And that's why, unless you work for an employer that provides it for you at no cost, I used to sell both individual and group health insurance. And young people typically would not sign up, especially if they work for an employer that provides group insurance, unless the employer paid all of it. They didn't want to spend their money on this. Why? Because they rationally said, I have other things that are more important. I only make a limited amount of money, and I have other priorities. I'm not going to buy it. Now, I don't recommend that. Again, I was in the health insurance business. I would try to convince them that it is in their interest to do this. But the problem then was the simple cost of it. Now, I raise this for an important point. I've looked at these so-called metal plans, the bronze, the silver, the gold, and the problem with them is, especially if you already had an individual plan in place, if you compare your old plan with this plan, what you see is the premiums are much higher, anywhere from 50 to 100% or more higher. And the reason is quite simple. Not only is because the insurance companies have to accept these people with pre-existing condition, but also they've had a list of 10, they have 10 categories of additional service that many of these individual plans simply did not cover. So yes, it's a better plan in the sense it covers more. It covers more people. It also covers more benefits that you're eligible for. But there's no free lunch here. That's why premiums are much higher. But that's only half the story. The bigger, and the reason I think many people won't buy this, then they look at the deductible. First, they have to spend a lot of money that they don't have, and then they find out the deductibles are $1,500, $2,500, $3,500, depending on which plan you get. If you get the most expensive plan, such as the gold plan, yes, your premium will be much higher, but your deductible will be lower. If you get a bronze plan, for example, your deductible typically is about $3,500, and that's per person. So if you're a husband and wife, that's $3,500, $3,500. Why is that important? Many of these people can't pay the premium. If they're lucky, they have a subsidy. If they can't pay the premium, guess what? They can't pay the deductible. So what they rationally do is they first have sticker shock when they look at the premium cost of the plan, and then they don't necessarily drop dead, but they see the deductible and say, I don't want it. I'm not going to do this. I'm either going to totally ignore it or pay the penalty. And that's why the key to the success of Obamacare is getting a large percentage of the young people, 18 to 34, enrolled. Now, obviously, if you work for a company and your company provides you with health insurance and it's free, there's no issue here. But this is for individuals, especially new business owners, for example, where typically a business owner will buy individual coverage if he's, you know, if he's self-employed. So it's the young that are really subsidizing the sicker, and by sicker I mean people with pre-existing conditions, as well as older people. Because what happens is, as people age or get older, their probability of having various medical conditions goes up. When you get in your 60s, your 70s, or 80s, you will be using the services of a doctor, a hospital, and other health providers a lot more. Insurance actuaries know this. That's why coverage for older people is a lot more expensive. Now, if you're still working and under 65, you don't qualify for Medicare. And Medicare, what people do is they're prepaying. Every time you get a paycheck, some money is deducted from your paycheck to pay for Medicare. So if you work, for example, 35, 40 years, you've paid into Medicare. So when you turn 65, you will be eligible for Medicare. But for those that are not 65, or 65 less, in other words, they're in their 50s or early 60s, their health insurance is a lot more expensive. Now, I need to make one final point. Your most expensive medical procedures are usually in your last year of your life, or your last 6 months is where most of your bills will be. The problem there is you don't know when that will be. But actuarially, it is older people in the 60s, 70s, 80s, or older that are going to have big medical bills. And most of that will be in the last year of their life. That's why older people have Medicare. But that in itself doesn't pay all the bills. Most people that have Medicare should get either a Medicare supplement or a Medicare Advantage for this simple reason. The government doesn't pay all the bills. So you need, even if you're over 65, you need to have the money. And it's not cheap. It's several thousand dollars typically. Again, it depends on your age, your medical history. You'll be paying at least $1,500 or $2,000 or $2,500, depending on which type of Medicare supplement you buy. You see, there is no free lunch. But I'm warning you out there. Well, 2 points. If you're young and have not enrolled or need to enroll to get your individual coverage, you now have to April 15th. You really should get going. The only problem there, you're running a risk that your information will be stolen by hackers. If you talk to people that have looked at this, this will be a prime target of all hackers or crooks out there that are trying to steal your information. So you run a big risk just enrolling. But even if you enroll, there's no guarantee, and let's say you make, in good faith, make the payment, there's no guarantee that the insurance company got your information as well as gotten your payment. So what I advise you, if you're going to run the risk and enroll, and there's supposedly a rush, a surge to enroll, keep this in mind. You need to have your identity protected, and there's some services out there, I'm not promoting them, that can do that. I think in the next 2 to 3 years, assuming Obamacare is not totally repealed, and I think ultimately it will be totally repealed, this is a disaster that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger as more and more of the problems. You know, the government really can't run this. They have been totally incompetent in running this. And if you don't believe me, you know, any major website, for example, Amazon, people buy a lot of books. You got to have the back end part of this totally squared away. And that's on any e-commerce site. And that's what this is. This is an e-commerce site where people are buying health insurance. And it's not like the health insurance companies, they can do it, but they set up these government exchanges where you can compare plans and decide what you want. The problem is they're just not safe, they're not secure, and there's really no guarantee unless you take the extra effort to make sure by contact of the insurance company that you're actually covered. Well, the last thing you want to do is go into a doctor's office and he informs you, "I'm sorry, ma'am, but I checked with the insurance company and they have no record that you're enrolled." Or, "Yes, we have your enrollment information, but we never got paid." Or yes, we got your partial payment, but we haven't got the subsidy from the government. You see the problem? Now, it's only going to get worse because once your insurance goes into effect, and what's happened is people will be using their plan, going to doctors, hospitals, other health care providers, and those, they need to be paid because what they're going to be asking you is for your insurance card and file claims with the insurance company. And that's where a lot of people are really going to find out whether or not they're covered. And keep in mind those high deductibles, because what the health care providers, namely primarily your doctors, are going to say, yeah, I'll be happy to do the procedure, but you first have to pay the deductible, $3,500 deductible. And if you don't have the money, come back when you do. You see, that's why many people don't like Obamacare and these metal plans. Oh, yeah, they have all these additional benefits, but it's like someone forcing me to buy a car that's fully loaded, and I can't. I buy the equivalent of the low-end bronze plan would be a small subcompact car, but what have they done to that small subcompact car? They've loaded it up with every bell and whistle or options, and you say, look it, I need a basic transportation here. I can't afford a leather seats, the best stereo, all the bells and whistles. See, that's the problem. These plans were designed in Washington by a bunch of lawyers, both from the insurance company and government and bureaucrats. It replaced a perfectly acceptable health insurance. Health insurance, we've had this for over 50 years, and it's gotten better and better and better. Is it perfect? No. Can it be improved? Yes. But before Obamacare, you decided what type of plan you wanted and what type of plan you could afford, and that's exactly what people said. They are in the best position to determine, one, how much they can afford. And affordability is a key issue in the health insurance market because these are big ticket items. This is not buying a loaf of bread in your local grocery store. Typically, these plans will run over $1,000. Again, it depends on your age, your sex, your medical condition. So I guess I have some good news. You have to the 15th. If you haven't enrolled in Obamacare, you now have to the 15th. They have extended the deadline. The bad news is you're running a risk just enrolling that your information will be stolen by hackers. And you're running another risk. The insurance companies are running a risk that they're not going to get paid because the government has not completed the back end of this system. And you need to make sure, if you are enrolling in this plan, to make sure you are covered. And also understand you're not going to be covered until you pay your premiums. So I wanted to give you this update because it is new information regarding the April 15th change. But there's something more important that you need to be paying attention on. And I think you're going to see more and more news stories in the coming days and weeks on this. Because I'm doubtful that back end has been completed. It's not impossible. But if you're the contractor that stepped in at the last minute because the other contractor was fired, you have a lot on your plate to get done in a relatively short time period. You see, the healthcare.gov site should never have been launched until the entire system had been thoroughly tested, and that simply was not done because the most important part wasn't even completed. I don't say they hadn't done some work on it, but it wasn't even close to being completed. We have a scandal on our hands. Obamacare is a scandal. It's a disaster. It should be repealed because the overwhelming majority of the American people, way over 55%, don't want any part of this. This is why the Democratic Party and Obama are playing politics with it by delaying and delaying the actual implementation. For example, if you had your own individual plan, they recently said you can continue with that. The problem with this, the insurance companies were assuming that come October, the fall of last year, all these old plans would be canceled. Now they're changing the game at the last minute, and these plans have to be approved by insurance commissioners in each state. and that all see all of this takes time, and then you have the problem to the extent that people stay on their old plans, even if it's for a year or 2 years, they extended it by at least 1 year. Why? Simply politics. There's an election coming up, and a lot of senators and House representatives are concerned about the impact this will have on the elections. They're running scared, folks, because what they're hearing from when they go back to their districts or go back to their states is complaint after complaint after complaint about Obamacare. You see, supposedly, as this site was launched and people got used to it, the popularity of Obamacare was supposed to go up. Instead, it's going down as more and more people say, this needs to be scrapped. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. This is significantly adversely affecting your financial situation, where you have to pay somewhere between 50 and 100% or more in premiums, and then go... Let's say you have a $500 or $1,000 deductible, and your deductible is increased by three, four, or five times that. You're saying to yourself, I don't like this health insurance. This is not what I want. This is not what I can afford. This is hurting me, my spouse, and my children. How dare you? How dare you do this to me? You're impacting me. And the arrogance of our president saying, well, you need to get your priorities straight. How dare you? It's, Mr. President, it's none of your business. You are causing the problem with your mess. You didn't know what you were doing. And you went along with your Democratic Party ramming this down the throat of the American people. The Republicans, the entire Republican Party in Congress, senators and congressmen voted against this. And this really, political games were played to get this passed in a hurry. And it wasn't supposed to be a tax. And the Supreme Court said, one, you can't tell people to buy this. And that's what they're doing. But, and here's the big but, you can tax them if they don't. You see, the smartest thing to do, frankly, is to pay the penalty. And that's another thing. You pay a penalty, a tax for something you don't buy. That really makes a lot of sense. The reason they're doing that, they have to subsidize all these people that really can't afford it. And they really have really no idea how much those subsidies are. And where does those subsidies come from? Supposedly from the people that have to pay the full price, as well as the taxpayers. And now they're talking about bailing out the insurance companies if they have major losses. And it looks like they're headed that way. We won't know. It's too early yet. But the administration really can't tell you how many have actually paid for it. You can sign up, but have they paid? Because if they haven't paid, they really don't have the coverage. And really, a lot of the enrollments were people that don't qualify for any subsidies. Namely, they're too poor, and they get Medicaid. That was the majority. Upwards of 40% of the people that were actually signing up were not signing up for insurance. They were signing up for Medicaid, which is welfare for the poor. And the problem with that is they're going to be real happy. Ooh, I have qualified for Medicaid. What they're going to find out if they're ever sick and need the services of a doctor or a surgeon or a hospital, there are very, very, very few doctors as well as specialists and hospitals that are going to take it. Why? The government doesn't reimburse them enough. Again, there's no free lunch. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, Obamacare is a perfect example of massive government intervention into the economy. We had a perfectly, not perfectly, we had a health care insurance system that worked. People had consumer sovereignty and can go out and buy what they wanted, either as an individual or if you're a business owner, you could buy group insurance for your employees. It was working. It's been working for decades. The government, though, and the elitists think they know best, and they can't really get this off the ground. And they're beating their chest, well, we're helping people that were uninsured. The studies I'm seeing is it looks like there'll even be more uninsured. You see, the primary objective of Obamacare was to get, and you get different numbers, either 46 million or 30 million uninsured, force them to be insured. In other words, get the numbers of so-called uninsured down. It's not doing that. It's not accomplishing, really, the motivation for getting this started. And what you got to remember, most of the people that were supporting this in the Democratic Party, starting with the former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, but a lot of these left-wing Democrats, they have been trying to pass this for many, many years. They don't want this system. What they want is single payer, where you will have no choice. You see, they're restricting your liberty. They're restricting your ability to buy what you want. That is ultimately what they want, where you don't have any choice of plans, namely single payer means government-run health care system. It's socialized medicine, and it fails people, where that's the only thing. Then they control you because they control access to medical care. You see, you have status, what I call the bigs, big interventionist government status, that want to stay in power and want to control your lives. And that's why there was a big push to pass the Patient Protection and Health Care Act, what most people refer to as Obamacare. With that, I'm going to be signing off. This has been a little bit longer than anticipated, but I wanted to alert you to you have a little bit more time, but use it wisely and really seriously think about, is this the best way to go? What I recommend people do is buy an excellent catastrophic care that doesn't cover the small stuff. In other words, save money in a health savings account to cover the small doctor bills, and then have buy insurance from an outstanding, highly rated insurance company that has a good reputation, and there are many out there, but you got to be careful, and buy a catastrophic plan, because that's what most people need this for. They're worried about a real serious illness or a car accident or something that really could wipe them out if they don't have insurance. And there you should take the highest deductibles you can afford. Now, many people, unfortunately, are not in a financial situation to have high deductibles. But when I was selling individual as well as group health insurance, that's a point I made. You don't want the insurance company being messing with claims that are small. It's like you don't buy car insurance, to cover oil changes or replacement of parts. What you buy car insurance for is someone wrecks your car or totals your car. That's the primary reason you do it, as well as you might be injured or you might injure somebody else. That's the insurance part. You know, and I know, I drive a car. I need to get my oil changed, my oil and the oil filter. I need to regularly have the car checked up to see if it's working well. So if you do the maintenance, cars today can really last a long time, but you got to do the maintenance when it's done, when it's scheduled. And the same thing applies with, the reason I'm relating it to health insurance, you need to buy insurance, not prepay the small stuff. And the way you handle the small stuff is you set aside money in a savings account, and you still have health savings account. And that would be my advice. And go and buy it from a insurance company direct. Don't mess with the government. See, the government is injecting itself in the health insurance market by dictating, first of all, the type of benefits will be in the plans, the types of plans. And as a result, you got this monstrosity of very expensive individual coverage with high deductibles. And the same is going to happen over time with your employer-provided group health insurance. Because what's going to happen, two things are going to happen. They're not going to be able to keep their group plan. Now, that also has been delayed. And for small businesses, they don't have to offer health insurance, but most of them can if they're in the financial position to do so. Because initially, they need to cover themselves as well as their family, but as they grow, they want to provide coverage for their employees for the simple reason they have to compete in the labor market for good employees. So to attract and retain employees, one of the benefits that they have been offered over time is good health insurance. And they will do it. If the money's there, they will buy it. But what you're going to see over the next year is they're going to see what the premiums will be as a result of the fact that even the group health insurance has to comply with the Affordable Care Act. That was the phrase I was struggling for. It's the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. And that's a joke. It's not affordable. It's very expensive. And care, one of the things I, at least I need to mention, is the fact that these networks that the insurance companies are setting up for these plans are very narrow. There are only a certain number of doctors and certain hospitals that you can go to. So you might be going to a doctor or be treated in a hospital that under these new plans, you might not be able to keep your doctor. That's why Obama was massively misleading the American people when he said, you can keep your own plan, you can keep your own doctor. And that is what's getting the American people real upset, because he lied to you and he knew he was lying. That was focus tested. He said that to get reelected. And now you're paying the bill. And the arrogant guy says, get your priorities straight, when he created this mess. You see the problem, ladies and gentlemen? Government spending is out of control. And we have a ruling elite, really in both parties, that don't give a damn about your welfare. They're messing with your lives. They're messing with your budgets. They're messing with your health insurance and your health. How dare they? So Obamacare is an April Fool's joke. Unfortunately, it's an April Fool's joke that's on the American people that will be continuing in the upcoming months. With you are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening, and now back to the music.